Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. Well, we're excited that you decided to tune in to the show today. Heard every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, we want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes, get ready to go to another level in your life. Because it's all about entrepreneurs. We have exciting guests who will come and teach you the strategies, the tips, and the tools for you to be a successful entrepreneur. Well, we hope that you enjoy the show. And don't forget, invite a friend. The show is going to be awesome. And now, your host, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the All About Entrepreneurs radio show. I am Coach Lalisa. I am excited to be here. I'm so glad you decided to tune in this morning. And if it's your first time tuning in, well, we certainly thank you for deciding to tune into the show, to listen to the broadcast. You know, we have some exciting entrepreneurs who will be coming on live to talk to you about their businesses, to talk to you about their journey, talk to you about their obstacles, and also to talk to you about the many, many, many rewards that they've gotten as a result of being an entrepreneur. We will also bring on various leaders throughout the community, throughout the corporations, and those who lead at home. We've met some wonderful people during this journey of being in radio show business. It's been exciting. It's been sort of like a whirlwind. Back in 2004 when I recorded my very first ever radio show, 2004. So actually next year, I will be celebrating 10 years in radio. Now, that's phenomenal because I never grew up thinking I would be in radio per se. But you know how it is when you look back, and I mean way back over your life. Look at when you were a child, some of the things you've done, some of the activities or games or little things that you were caught up in. What were they about? Now, somehow, growing up, I was always somewhere performing in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Even when I was getting a beating, you know, back those days, you could beat your children. I can't do that stuff today. You'll get locked up. But back then, even when my beatings were a performance. I have no doubt that my parents were like, oh, we can't wait till we get to Lalisa. But no, just kidding. But yeah, even that was a performance. I didn't think of it back then. And had I, you know, been thinking, I would have gotten involved in all the drama classes as a child. And I'm sure it would have kept me out of a lot of trouble. Well, I can't say that for sure. In one sense, during my school days, it probably would have kept me out of a lot of problems. However, when I look at a lot of the problems that people in the entertainment industry have, I'm sort of glad I didn't go that route. No pun intended, but here I am 2004 with the notion of hosting a radio show. And now, I really don't know where the idea came from, but I got an advertisement from an organization that was advertising that they were going to do a radio. And I used to listen to the radio a lot. And I think I remember a time or two saying, wow, that seems like a fun job or a fun life or something. But I never thought about pursuing it. Obviously, I didn't. And I grew up in a city where the radio station, a major radio station, was right around the corner from my home. I went there like once or twice during Halloween to trick-or-treat. That was about it. Or if they announced that they were giving away records or giving away tickets, I would go by there. But I never thought seriously about being in the radio business, TV or anything like that. But I remember some advertisement coming across my email advertising that this company, Audio Acrobat, was going to be starting up a women's online radio. And I was curious enough to be anxious about that. I wanted to do it, and I couldn't wait for them to get it started. And as soon as they did, I contacted them about setting up an account. I remember the fee was somewhere around $20 or so a month, and the process was that you would record a show or dial in or somehow you and the show would record, and it would be in sort of like an archive, and you would be on Audio Acrobat. You give your show a name. And so I said, hey, I'm going to have a show. And if I'm not mistaken, it was called something about visions. I remember that much. And then, too, I'm kind of thinking about something else at the same time that also made me think about doing that. Is I went to an event. A young lady had invited me to an event in Newark. And I remember the man who was up speaking, who also had a radio show and TV show, and he was up speaking. And I remember that was in 1997. And I remember saying, I can do that. I want to do that. I want to do what he's doing. Or no, forget that. I'll never forget that. And yeah, that was Mr. Howard Scott. So I have to absolutely give, you know, thanks to the fact that I was able to meet him and see him. And actually, definitely thanks to Miss Cherise Johnson, because she is the young lady who, when she met me, she saw something in me. See, that's why, you know, people can see things in you. They can absolutely see things in you that you don't see in yourself. That's number one. And people can help to bring that out of you. You know, that's one of the number one reasons that I give to people for working with a coach. Because a coach can certainly be that person who is committed to seeing some hidden talents, gifts, skills, and abilities. But nonetheless, I was not thinking anything about being a speaker, being a radio show host, and I met this woman pretty much on a humble. I was not scheduled to meet her. I was not scheduled to go to her office. I was scheduled to go into the building where she was, into another office. And I went to the building. I went to the office where I was supposed to go, took care of the business that I needed to take care of. But on the way out, as I was leaving, something told me, go inside that office. Yeah, something told me, go inside that office. I go, as I think about it, it's just, This is so interesting. I was 97, 1997. I go into the office, and there she is. She's there as some type of, I think she was some type of admin person, secretary or something. And she immediately, the moment I walked in, she immediately came to the counter, and she thought I was some type of an executive of something. And she began to immediately talk to me about being a director. She was telling me that the organization I had walked into were looking for an executive director. And she told me, you should apply. Now, at that time, I did have my bachelor's degree. I had just, I had not even graduated yet. I had just graduated, yes. I was graduating that year. Oh, no, I had graduated already. That's correct. I had just graduated. We didn't have the ceremony yet, but I had just graduated Fairleigh Dickinson, so I did have a bachelor's, and she said to me, you should apply, blah, blah, blah. Well, I didn't. However, we remained friends, and she, you know, pressed in her heart and her spirit that I should meet this person, Howard Scott, who was doing motivational speaking, radio, newspaper, and doing it pretty big in the city of Newark. So she kept telling me that, you know, I want you to come with me to, he was doing these events in Newark, and she kept saying, you gotta go, you gotta go. And sure enough, she pressed and she pressed and she pressed. And actually, prior to that, she got me several speaking engagements. She kept telling me, you need to speak, you need to be a speaker. And I thought, okay, great, fine. So she actually got me speaking engagements. And I tell you, I thank God for her. I really do. Charisse Johnson, I do. We're still good friends today. And I really got to do some things for that young lady, because when I think back to how I got where I am today, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Charisse Johnson. And she's a sweetheart. And here's a young lady who said to me, not only did she tell me I need to be speaking, she actually got me speaking engagements with her organization. Anytime, and the organization she was with at the time was 10,000 Mentors. She got me certified to be a mentor with them. She recommended me every chance she got. She gave them people my name. And so I had different little speaking engagements here and there. But then one time I went with her to an event that Howard was given, and I sat there and I thought, and she kept telling me, you need to do this, you need to do this. And I sat there and I saw it, I saw it. And so pretty much that's how my journey got started with speaking. And that's when, and I realized that what I was doing and the talents that I had been with me my whole life. That's why in the book, Release Your Power, in the book I start off by saying, if I'm a writer today, it's because I've always been a writer. If I'm a speaker today, it's because I've always been a speaker. And that's what I want to say to you. What is it that you have, or what is it that you do, or that you could do, that it's always been there? You just got to think back. You just got to think back. But I really started out just by acknowledging how long I've been on the radio, but then it had me remember how I actually got there. So in 2004, I started this radio program, Audio Acrobat. Well, it was online, you know, it's very simple, but it was in my wildest dreams that I could be on an FM or an AM station. But then, too, that happened. Within a year, I was on Harvest Radio 1070 AM. For 3 years, I kept that radio show going. It wasn't the easiest thing to do, but I did it. I did it, and it seemed effortlessly. Every week, I'd go down to the station. I'd schedule guests to be on the show. Very rarely did I not have a guest, because when you're live radio, people are dialing in, calling in, and it was awesome. I remember the very first show that I did with Mr. Joseph Graham, Dr. Joseph Graham. And the play that he wrote is Time to Tell, Who's Going to Save Me? It's Time to Tell Your Secrets. Who's Going to Save Me? It's Time to Tell My Secrets. What an awesome, awesome play. We gave away some tickets on the show. I did all the big show stuff on my very first show, technically. So I've had a great time. I did that for 3 years. And then in 2008, I came over here to Blog Talk Radio, and I've been here ever since. So next year, we'll celebrate 10 full years in radio. Now, it's been very interesting. But today, I wanted to talk about how to sustain your business. And I wanted to give you, over the course of the next 2 days, today and tomorrow, I want to give you 9 sustainable strategies for being an entrepreneur. And so the first thing to being an entrepreneur is deciding that that's what you want to do. That's number one. You know, I've learned that when you, it's nothing like wanting to do something, I tell you. My sister, I'll never forget, she told me years ago, she said, there's nothing more powerful than a made-up mind. And I've never, ever forgotten that. So when you make up your mind about what you want, you will do it. So that could be make up your mind about going to school, make up your mind about getting married, make up your mind about having children, make up your mind about getting wealthy. It doesn't matter. When you make up your mind, that's what you will do. So when you make up your mind to graduate, guess what? You're going to graduate. I'm telling you, with a made-up mind, you can move mountains. That's right. Mountains will move when your mind is made up. Even the scriptures tell us, as a man thinketh, so is he. Anytime you can direct your whole life with your mind, hello, anything short of that, you got it. And so that's the first thing you want to do, is you want to make up your mind. You want to make sure that it is something that you want. Once you do that, I'm telling you, the rest will be a total piece of cake. So the first thing is to decide that you want to be an entrepreneur, meaning, all the things that it means to be an entrepreneur, okay? First and foremost, you have to give up a lot of things. Yeah, there's some sacrifice. There's some risk, some calculated risk, and calculated in the sense that we're sitting here right now calculating that. So definitely, you absolutely want it. Is that, you know, ask yourself, is this something I want to do? Do I want to be in charge of my own life? Do I want to be in charge of my own finances? Do I want to be in charge of my income? That's really what you're doing. You're in charge of your income. And do I want to be responsible for other people's income? Because if you're going to have employees working for you, and you don't have to, you can be an entrepreneur of one. You do not have to have a slate of employees. However, if you want to expand your business and grow your business and really, you know, you have to hire people, make a lot of money, you will have to hire people. So that's number one. Make up your mind that you want to be in control of the decision-making. You want to be in control of the problem solver. You want to be the problem solver, the decision-maker. You want to be the financier. You want to be the project director. You have to wear all of these hats. If you want to be an entrepreneur, you have to be willing to multitask. And not just multitask, because multitask could be an accountant doing several different tasks. No, you are more than a multitasker if you're an entrepreneur. You're what we call wearing multiple hats. So at one moment you're the accountant, the next moment you're the advertising agency, the next moment you're the human resources, and the next moment you're operations, you're the customer service, you're quality control, you're all departments, you're everything, all right? So that's number one. So you have to make up your mind. Is this something that you want, or do you prefer having a very, very narrow focus in terms of what area that you work in? Because remember, as an entrepreneur, you have to switch those hats sometimes within an hour, you may have to wear five different hats. Whereas if you work for someone else, you can master that one thing, that one area, that one field, and just do that. But, of course, it could have many facets to that one department, that one field, that one area. And, of course, you may get to work on wonderful projects here and there as you go through your career. But definitely, the entrepreneur is all over the place doing all kinds of different things. And you have to check to see if you even have that personality. Because though you may want to do that, you just may not have the personality for it. Of course, you can always hire someone to manage all those different areas for you. Absolutely. So, but being an entrepreneur, you have to want to see things happen. You have to want to make things happen. You have to want to be able to see the big picture. You have to want to be able to move things in a particular direction and then be responsible if things don't work out in that direction and then be able to quickly adjust and move it in another direction to where you foresee that there will be success. So that's, you know, what you need. Okay, so we're talking about these strategies to make you a sustainable, successful entrepreneur. Now, first of all, let me just back up for a moment because I might need to do a little clarification of what we mean by sustainable, meaning that you're in it for the long haul. You're not an entrepreneur this year, and next year you're out there pounding the pavement looking for a job. You're an entrepreneur this year, and then next year, next 2 years, you're out there pounding the pavement again looking for a job. Now, the problem with that, if you're very young, say 19, 20, 25, even 30, that might work up to a point. But once you become a certain age, the pounding of the pavement gets more pounding. The pounding of the pavement can take a little minute. So you want to be mindful of the whole age factor. If you're going to be going back and forth, kind of flip-flopping between I'll start out in this business, if it doesn't work out, I'll get a job. Okay? Or you could keep your steady job, your 9-to-5, so to speak, and then start your business on the side, like outside of work hours, which here's the problem with that, though. For some people, it may not be a problem for you, but a problem with working somewhere and starting your business on the side. Sometimes it overlaps. Now, I know for me, when I was working a full-time job for a company and trying to do my business, it didn't work out because I found myself wanting to do business during my 9-to-5 work hours. Now, let's just say you have a pizzeria and you work from 9 to 3 p.m. and your pizzeria doesn't open till 4. Well, more than likely, you're not going to be trying to sell pizza during your work hours, 9 to 3. But say for myself, a speaker, a graphic artist, any type of consultant, you may be tempted to send out emails, to get emails, to read emails, to make phone calls, to answer phone calls, to whatever, during your work hours. And that is just not right. During your 9-to-5 job, believe it or not, those employers expect you to do their work. And that's it. Not their work and a little bit of yours because you got done with their work sooner. No. They expect you to do their work within that time frame, regardless of whether you got finished. Or if you get finished early, they expect you to do something else. So for them, not for yourself. So that was the only challenge that I found with my business being a speaker, author, writer. It was meshing too much, and I couldn't keep a good conscience about it. You know, of course, we can sneak and do it and blah, blah, blah. But after a while, you realize that this isn't working. I'm not being loyal. It's like a husband who cheats or a wife who cheats on her husband. You can't keep that stuff up. You may slip into it, okay? Granted, you slipped into it. And for whatever reasons, you know, I'm not here to discuss that. But you can't keep it up unless you are a really heartless person that doesn't have a conscience. You cannot keep that up for a long period of time, right? So that's what I would warn people about. Make sure you do your homework and your research into, you know, that. Or if you have a great relationship with your employer, your supervisor, your manager, your boss, or what have you, then you go to them. Most companies do have stipulations. If you have a business, you must let them know in writing. You must tell them what the business is about and the whole nine yards. And they have an opportunity to give you an approval. If they give you an approval, fine. Go for it. Do whatever you need to do. Because how do you know? Maybe you being in business is going to make their business look better or make their business look good. I know, for instance, I love working at the college because, well, as a speaker and a writer, well, that's what colleges are about. So anytime I'm out there in the media or I'm out there in the community and I'm doing anything, as long as I say, oh, I work at Essex County College, I work at Union County College. Now, I'm basically marketing for them, so they're excited, you know. Actually, they're more excited the more people that I can reach, and they know enough to know that people may be inspired and say, wow, you know, she went to college, I can go too, see. So it's fun. I love what I do now, and I wish I had thought about it sooner. I could have spared myself a lot of years wasted trying to fit in to a different type of corporate environment that is very, well, a little bit more, well, I can't find a good word right now, but a corporate environment is just different than a college environment. It's just totally different. There is a corporate area of the college, but I don't work in that area. I work in the production area. So imagine a manufacturing company where you have the corporate offices and you have production. Or you have, say, an airline, you have corporate offices in Houston or Dallas or somewhere. But then you have out on the tarmac, you know, it's production in the hangar, you know, whatever. But so that's what it's like. I'm in the production side because I'm in the classroom. And there was a time when I thought, you know, I don't want to be in the classroom. It's too restricting. Can you believe it? That's why I didn't go for a career in education, because I thought, oh, the classroom is so restricting. I'm in there. I can't leave out. I can't pick up my phone, you know, that kind of thing. And it dawned on me finally that, but that's what you love, is being with those students. So one of the reasons I do this program and programs like this is to tell people about what I've experienced, so that hopefully it will inspire you or someone to do what you love as well and to find what you love doing, because sometimes we don't always know what it is we love. So obviously we only have about 90 seconds left to the broadcast officially, but if you're on the phone lines, you'll be able to listen in as long as I do the show. But usually I'd go sometimes about 10 minutes afterwards. But if you are on the chat room, well, I don't have the chat room open today. But typically when the chat room is open, if you're listening that way, you wouldn't be able to hear beyond. And those of you who are listening via the internet, it will go off in the next 20 seconds. But for those who decide to dial in. So that's, you know, just my little bit about how I ended up, you know, doing what I do. But as an entrepreneur, you definitely want to know that this is something that you want to do, number one. And then number two, you want to choose a field to get started. If you want to, I was talking about that sustainable entrepreneurship. That means that you're going to be doing it, like I said, for the long haul. And so in order to do it for the long haul, now, you may, no, don't get it twisted. You may start out doing something and you may switch up later. But at least try to do something that you want to do. So when I first decided to start my business, I thought about this in 1990. This is 1989. In 1989, as I was working for a manufacturing company, I was working in purchasing department, and that gave me an opportunity to meet all the businesses that we used to purchase things from. Since it was we used to manufacture this product, we lots of businesses we had to deal with in order to purchase what we needed, not only to make the product, but just everything we purchased for the business in total. So we purchased training, we purchased travel, we purchased furniture, we purchased office supplies, we purchased, oh my goodness, medical, dental coverage. We just, you purchase everything. Company has to purchase everything it needs. We purchase nuts and bolts and screws and tools and paper and floor covering, toilet, you name it, we purchased it. And my job was to file all those purchase orders. Well, since I felt that I had more education than to just have a job as a file clerk, I sat there and I was bored just filing papers, putting A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and numerical. So I read them. I read every purchase order. I mean, what else was I going to do for 8 hours a day? So I would read the name of the company. Well, we didn't have computers back then. This was 1980. I got the job in 1987. So 87, 88, 89, we didn't have computers yet. And we had the old electric typewriters is how we typed documents. Now, fax machines were they were still kind of new. So that's how we got information quickly from one person to the next, was through a fax machine. And we thought that was the big deal. That was a big deal. So they showed me how to operate a fax machine. I thought I was big time. And, of course, you had regular mail, FedEx, UPS, things like that, if you wanted to get mail to somebody quick. But faxing was like the brand new thing. The hot new thing was to fax somebody something. Prior to that, they had the teletype. You know, you would send a teletext type thing to get a message to another state or another country really, really quick. But you remember now, that was very expensive for companies to have that. So companies were limited. Only the big boys could have those types of machines. And then when they came out with the fax machine, the fax brought the price down, or should I say the cost down. It was tapped into your regular phone line. So it made it a lot better for a lot of companies to do business faster, quicker, and better, and more up-to-date, up-to-speed. And so I was in that purchasing department. I'd be reading all these different purchase orders, and I just started, my boss began to allow me to follow up on some of the orders, like, because I kept bugging him about, I need to do more. And he would let me contact some of the companies, what have you. And then some of these companies that I contacted, they were small, little tiny companies where you are sitting there and talking right there to the CEO or the person that was running the company. And by me being in that department, got a chance to really, talk to those individuals and just kind of notice that, okay, this is what they do. This is how you run a small business. And then I start bugging him, oh, I need more. Then he began to allow me to go pick up orders. So, me wanting to get out of the office any chance I could, I jumped on the case. I jumped on it. So I ride to Kenilworth and other little towns, and sometimes Newark, to pick up different things that we would place an order, right? And he probably felt like he was doing a big thing because he knew I wanted to get out of that office. And so that got me to go into a lot of these little companies and look around. And I think that's where I really got the major bite from the entrepreneur bug. So that was back in the 80s, 1988, 89. And I would talk to the owners and whatnot, and they'd share some things with me. And then I met a computer store. Computers were just coming out. I mean, brand new desktops. I mean, computers had been out, we know that, for hundreds of years. But the desktop had just hit the scene. And my company purchased a couple of them for us in the purchasing department, but other departments as well. And the person who sold us the computers, I'll never forget them, Simplex Computers, sold those computers. And that was my first experience with computers. But, as I said, that's all we have time for. So we'll pick up the story tomorrow, same time, same place. So we'll see you back tomorrow. And we'll continue our discussion on 9 sustainable strategies for entrepreneurial success. Well, and that's it. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. This has been Coach Lilisa.
That's right. There's no stopping you now. Well, thank you for tuning in to another segment of All About Entrepreneurs. Don't forget, stop by our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/allaboutentrepreneurs, and visit us on the web at www.release-your-power.com. Like our friend page on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at twitterandfacebook.com/CoachLilisa. If you would like to get in touch with one of the entrepreneurs or one of the guests that you've heard on the show, please send us a request on Facebook or on Twitter or right here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, if you're not an entrepreneur yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. Go out and make it happen. Again, we'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, for another exciting episode of All About Entrepreneurs. Stay tuned for our conferences, our seminars, and our webinars, where you can get further trained as you develop just what you are and just what you want to do. Again, this has been Coach Lilisa J. Williams.